Good afternoon. My name is Hillary, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Jewish Federations of North America's call about current situations in the Middle East. Thank you, and I would like to turn the conference over to Cindy Shapira, Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees. Please go ahead.
Thank you very, very much, Hillary, and thank you all so much for being on this important call, and I apologize for us being a few minutes late. It's been a remarkable few days in Israel. Following last week's dramatic events surrounding Syria and Iran, Israel marked 70 years since the founding of the state, and in a historic moment, the United States opened its embassy in Jerusalem. But yesterday also saw highly disturbing events on the Gaza-Israel border, with an estimated 40,000 Palestinians participating in large demonstrations. Many tried to storm the border, and there was a significant level of violence. Tragically, more than 60 protesters were killed, and some 2,400 were injured. Many questions emerged from the event, and I would like to ask our guest today to help bring us up to date and try to answer them. Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus is the head of the International Media Branch of the IDF Spokespersons Unit and was the first Israeli to hold a position at the United Nations Department of Peacekeeping Operations. Lieutenant Colonel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, ma'am. It's a pleasure and an honor. I thank you very much for organizing it. I hope everyone can hear me clearly enough. I'll try to speak slowly and as clearly as possible. Are there any further comments, or should I start with my remarks?
Yes, please take 5 minutes for opening remarks, and then I'll have some questions for you.
Thank you, ma'am. So I'd like to start off by putting some clearer focus. When you said, ma'am, that we had that there were protesters that were killed, I'd like to say that yesterday we faced unprecedented levels of violence by an event that was organized, orchestrated, and controlled by the terrorist organization called Hamas. Their intention was, and I am quoting or based on the words of Yihya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas in Gaza, their aim was to deliver their victory sermons inside Israel, inside Israeli communities. He specifically named Nahal Oz and Sderot. And he told the Palestinians, of course not in English on CNN or MSNBC, but he said it in Arabic to the Palestinians, that we will tear their fence down just like we will tear the hearts out of the Zionists. For the IDF, that, in addition to all that we had seen prior to that, was enough for us to understand what we are dealing with. And I can assure you that these were not protesters. These were not demonstrators. They were not unarmed. And I'll give examples about that shortly. And this was not anything that you have seen, and it's very difficult to have a reference to what happened, because we saw a mix of protesters and rioters, similar to other places around the world, and amongst them, terrorists that were hidden and concealing themselves, making themselves look like protesters and rioters. And we also had the attempts that we had yesterday were two significant proper terrorist attacks against Israeli troops, one in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, where a squad of Hamas terrorists attacked an Israeli patrol, not by rocks, not by Molotov cocktails, but by live firearms, by firing with AK-47s at an Israeli patrol, which stopped, dismounted, engaged those Hamas terrorists, and were able to kill them, as they should have. Another event was in the southern part of the Gaza Strip, morning hours, when three Hamas terrorists, again, using the guise and the commotion and the proximity to the riots, tried to plant a large-scale IED, a bomb, on the fence in order to blow it up and for others to be able to to infiltrate into Israel. Those were two key events that went highly underreported in international media, and it makes it difficult for anyone to understand what we were facing before you really know and before you make sure that the correct wording is used, because we did not face protesters at the fence. Protesters were 300 and 400 yards away, not posing a threat to Israel. Those that came to the fence knew what they were doing. They had hostile intentions in mind. Their purpose was to tear down the fence and to allow for terrorists to come across. And their purpose was anything but to protest and to express their feelings. That's the basic premise. About the casualties, 24 out of those that were killed yesterday were active Hamas members. Active members of the military wing of Hamas. So that's a long term of calling someone a terrorist. And those were killed not because we identify them as terrorists and we knew that they were terrorists. No, they weren't wearing uniform. They were disguised as protesters. But their actions in terms of what they were trying to do, to climb across the fence or to tear it down or to place IEDs or to throw Molotov cocktails or hand grenades, or, as we said, to fire direct at Israeli troops, all of those made it clear who exactly they were, and there were almost half of the people the Palestinians killed yesterday. I'd like to say before we open to questions that the IDF, we are aware of the tremendous criticism from around the world, from many corners of the globe. I think that the IDF is open to criticism, and we do listen. We have a fact-finding mechanism in the IDF, which has been commissioned by the Chief of Staff, and it has full authority to investigate and question and to flag events that the commander of that team thinks are problematic. And they also have the authority to recommend criminal investigation of Israeli officers and soldiers. That mechanism has been in place for more than 4 weeks. It has investigated a few events, and it has full authority to continue to investigate. But what's really important to emphasize is that we are not dealing with demonstrators. There's nothing peaceful here. This is a terrorist organization, Hamas, which is behind this. Hamas is using the Palestinian rioters and protesters for their political gain. They're using them as human shields, and it is simply a new page or a new tactic in the Hamas textbook. They tried suicide bombers, and when we stopped them and denied them the ability to do that, they started firing rockets towards our civilians. When we found technical solutions for that, the Iron Dome and others, they went to digging tunnels. Now we have a technical solution for their tunneling, and we have cut those tunnels off. Hamas understood that, and they have simply gone out to find a new way of menacing and terrorizing. This tactic won't work for Hamas. It may cause a lot of condemnation against Israel, but our mission, the IDF mission, and with this I'll open up for questions, has been and will be to defend Israeli sovereignty, and most importantly, to defend Israeli communities that are only a few minutes a running distance from the border against this massive popular assaults that we have seen on the fence that have been hiding terrorists among them.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So let me ask you some questions, please, to follow up. First of all, understanding that you yourself have just returned from the Israel-Gaza border, can you describe what you personally witnessed? What was it like? What was happening on that scene? And remember, you're talking to many, many people, many of whom have never been there and don't have a sense of what it's like on the border.
Yeah, I thank you for pointing that out and giving that guidance, because it really is a good reminder. It's very different from what I saw in the pictures Even though I was on the ground, and I've been there now for the last 6.5 weeks almost, every Friday in and out, and of course yesterday and today. So I've been on the fence. I've seen the events. I've smelled the tear gas and the burning tires. I have heard the warning calls from the Israeli soldiers telling the protesters and the rioters to stay clear of the fence and go back. I have heard the chanting on the Palestinian side, the cries of Allahu Akbar, and go forward, and go forth and be martyrs. Do a martyrdom, an act of martyrdom, istishhad. And I've seen masses of Palestinians, really mobs of tens and hundreds of people launching themselves at the fence as if there's no tomorrow and as if they are running for salvation. There's no other way I could really describe it, and I've seen it from up close. On the other hand, on the other side, I've been next to Israeli soldiers, young 19, 20, and 21-year-old Israeli soldiers, the finest of the young men that the state of Israel have to offer, combat soldiers that are professional, devoted, understand what they're defending, not trigger-happy, and disciplined, laying in their foxholes and in their positions, taking orders from their superior officers and executing their missions with discipline, with professionalism, and using their weapons proportionately and as they are intended according to the rules of engagement. Now, have there been mistakes? Have there been bullets that missed their target and hit people that weren't the target? Of course they have. But I can tell you that it is a chaotic environment on the border. There's tear gas, there's smoke from the tire, there's screaming, there's loudspeakers, there's the sirens from the ambulances, and most importantly, there are masses of rioters trying to tear down the fence, throwing rocks, throwing Molotov cocktails, throwing grenades with slingshots or with their hands. As we saw just yesterday, also attacking our troops with firearms, which was a new addition that we knew was coming and we were prepared for it. So it's a very complex situation to defend against. And keep in mind that the Israeli soldier, when he's laying on the ground and doing what his commanders tell him to do, he knows that 500 or let's say 800 yards behind him is an Israeli community of civilians, of women and children, that relies totally on his commitment and his ability to defend the border against these masses of incited Palestinians that are trying to get across. That really is something that I think must transpire. It doesn't transpire in the media. Some of that, I'm sure, is my fault, that we haven't been able to get that message out of how it is from our side, what we are defending, and the winning pictures, overwhelming victory by knockout, unfortunately, have been the graphics from the Palestinian side. The amount of casualties have done us a tremendous disservice, unfortunately, and it's been very difficult to tell our story. Having said that, and I'll finish here, I am happy to have to give these explanations to the world instead of having to explain to the Israeli public and to families of and to bereaved families in Israel how the IDF allowed terrorists to get into Israel and massacre Israeli civilians in their homes because we wanted to be too humane or too soft and not to face criticism from parts of the international community.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have several more questions to get to, if time permits.
Sure.
I want to sort of follow up with that by asking you this. People in North America are wondering, and you know, you've elucidated a lot on the situation. But here we wonder, given the very sophisticated state of IDF surveillance and Israeli intelligence, Was there not any advance warning that these activities would occur? Smaller scale protests have been going on for the past months, and so what preparations did the IDF make leading up to yesterday and today? Was there an effort to encourage Palestinians to not protest and amass at the border? Was there a plan B for a nonviolent response? And also, would you speak to the use of live ammunition as well?
Yeah, thank you. So we have been trying to get the message across to the Hamas leadership, as well as to the ordinary Palestinians living in Gaza, that we have no issue and no, it's really none of our business if they want to demonstrate inside Gaza. It becomes our business if they turn their frustration, their rage, their anger, their disappointment, whatever they, whatever feelings they harbor. And personally, I can say that many of those, I totally agree with them. Unfortunately, they live probably miserable lives inside Gaza. And I'll allude to that in a second, in a minute. But all of those, all of that negative energy, if you will, should not be focused on Israel. It should be focused on Hamas. Hamas is the governing entity in Gaza. They are responsible, and they have been for the last 11 years. They have no achievement to show for 11 years of rule in Gaza. They have squandered their resources and the international aid that they have been given very generously on military efforts. They have built terror tunnels. They have equipped themselves with weapons. They have manufactured rockets, and they have paid salaries to military members, to members of their military wing. But we'll put that aside for a second. We knew we had an understanding, of course. We weren't surprised that this was going to happen. We hoped that the Palestinians wouldn't really follow up or follow through with their threats. But, of course, we were deployed, our deployment was, again, focused on defending Israeli communities. That was our task, not to achieve global legitimacy and to look nice, but to defend Israeli communities against an assault of Palestinians. Now, what did we do in order to minimize friction and minimize casualties? First, we warned. We warned in Arabic on every channel and platform that we can, whether it is social media in Arabic or it is social media in mass, Arabic language in mass media, whether it is leaflets that we dropped on three different occasions before the riots, telling the Palestinians that it is dangerous to participate in the riots and it is dangerous to approach the fence and try to pull it down or to damage security infrastructure. As long as they don't come near the fence, nothing, no harm will be done. But we urge the Palestinians not to take part in these violent activities and not to play into the hands of Hamas and their political agenda. We used tear gas. Really extensive amounts of tear gas against the rioters in order to try to distance them from our security infrastructure, from the fence, so that they wouldn't come close and we wouldn't have to use other means. We used our soldiers, Arabic-speaking soldiers, on the ground for those who missed the message, missed the memo, on social media and in the regular media and didn't read the leaflets and perhaps didn't understand what this is all about. We also had Arabic-speaking soldiers on the ground almost nonstop crying or speaking over loudspeakers that it is dangerous to touch or approach the fence. Stay clear of the fence. Do not approach. If you're doing so, you're jeopardizing your safety. All of these things were done systematically, continuously, for the last I would say 5 weeks. We didn't do that from the beginning, but for the last 5 weeks, we have been doing that. Unfortunately, Hamas had other intentions. Hamas wanted the casualties. Hamas wanted people to die. Hamas wanted the pictures of the wounded and the overflowing hospitals and everything else, and they had no problem sending the human shield forward. That is the sad reality of what we have been facing. And again, when the dilemma came to, on one hand, defending the Israeli border and Israeli communities immediately behind the border, or allowing the rioters through and having a lower amount of Palestinian casualties, there's no dilemma. There's no dilemma for soldiers and commanders in the IDF with a clear mission that has to be stopped. But on the other hand, we have tried to be as accurate, as deliberate and as specific as possible, using only sniper rifles. By the way, standard NATO ammunition. I'll repeat that. Standard NATO ammunition, nothing else, no special ammunition, no hollow point, no dum-dum, no other, all of the other fake news that has been coming out of Gaza under the so-called premises of different humanitarian organizations. We have been using standard ammunition only, 7.62 millimeter standard ammunition. But that's just another example of misinformation or disinformation coming out of Gaza. So we have done a lot to try to minimize casualties. Have we been successful at it? Unfortunately, no. Why? Because Hamas has been pushing people forward to their deaths, pushing people forward to be shot by the IDF intentionally, because they want to capitalize politically on the amount of casualties.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we understand that there were more protests planned for today. Did Hamas decide to pull back? How do you explain the relative silence? And can I also ask you about the West Bank? The protests there have been smaller and different in nature. Can you talk about that, and can you talk about the role of Fatah and Abu Mazen in all of this?
Yes, so I think both parts of your question are really interesting, because they tell the story and they are another part of context which really tells us what Hamas is doing here. Hamas is the force behind these riots, and I refuse to call it protests. And I really, I'm adamant about the fact that these are not protests, these are organized riots with a military purpose orchestrated by a terrorist organization. Hamas has been doing this, and they have been coercive in their efforts to get people out. Now, you all know that there's approximately 2 million people who live in Gaza. Hamas called this, they tried to dub this this riot the March of the Million. Today, or yesterday, the turnout was approximately 40,000. Now, it's not as if most of those people living in Gaza have too much else going on. Hamas declared a public strike. They shut down schools, and they released prisoners from jail, and specifically told them that the release was conditional only if they went and participated in the riots. They closed schools and forced mostly the boys, but not only, to participate in the riots, and urged them to become martyrs and to throw themselves at the fence and to try to get into Israel and march towards whatever dream they have, hallucination they have. And on the other hand, today there was very little violence. That again shows that the numbers were very small today, and that again shows that it is all controlled, it's all measured, it's all part of a strategy, and it's not something sporadic. Speaking about Judea and Samaria, this Hamas failed miserably with exporting this riot to Judea and Samaria, I think simply because the Palestinians didn't believe in it. They saw the Palestinians in Judea and Samaria. First of all, Hamas doesn't have any leverage on them. They can't force them. They can't pay them to go onto the streets and confront Israeli troops. And they can't coerce them into doing it. Many of the Palestinians inside Judea and Samaria probably have a lot more to lose. There, maybe some of them are content with their jobs, their financial security, their education, their freedom of movement, their quality of life, etc., etc., etc. And that's why they decided, well, maybe we're not going to take part in the Hamas charade. And this was an utter failure for Hamas, that they didn't, except for a few hundreds in different locations over Judea and Samaria, none of them, it really didn't catch on. And that's, I think, a good sign of health for the Palestinian society as a whole, that this didn't transpire, or it didn't affect Judea and Samaria as well. And I can say that, by the way, I'll connect that to the former question. You asked about what did we do in order to avoid confrontations and clashes and casualties. In Judea and Samaria, we told and we communicated with local leadership and also through media. We said, we understand the situation. We are more than willing to make acts of gestures of good faith, different relief efforts and different improvements in for the month of Ramadan. And we signaled to them that positive and good constructive behavior and avoiding violence would be met with the same type of response from the Israeli side. And apparently that worked. It's still perhaps too early to be too happy about it, but it appears to have worked.
Thank you very much. So now let's talk a little bit about other countries in the region. We believe that Turkey has expelled the Israeli ambassador, and Israel has responded in kind. What has been the response from Egypt, Jordan, even Saudi Arabia, or what is the expected response?
Yeah, this will be the last question because I have a live broadcast with BBC. I'll just say it, and it's a bit above or beyond my scope. I'll just say that much of that is dealt with by the political echelons, and what we are trying to do, the IDF, is first and foremost to defend and to allow decision makers in Israel, let's say, to alleviate them from the pressure of having a massacre in an Israeli community and having to respond to that. But I can assure you that on the highest levels inside Israel, these things are happening. We are reaching out to our neighboring countries to ensure stability. We are communicating behind the scenes with different countries, neighbors, and organizations, who many of those share a common interest in maintaining stability, and many of whom see through the lies of Hamas and understand that what really is happening here is not a march of return, and it's not a popular demonstration, and it's not an unarmed protest. It's nothing of the kind. It is Hamas pulling another rabbit out of the hat, or another trick, trying a new tactic. This one, unfortunately, is a very bloody one with very bad optics and lots of casualties, but it's just another page out of the Hamas book. Ma'am, I apologize for having to end so shortly, but I really have to go. I appreciate very much your time and that you've organized this conference call for me to participate in. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus. We appreciate it.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.